But once you get your license, you have to hang it somewhere immediately. So you have to hang it at a broker's office. Otherwise, you have to start over again in your class. So your license has to be hung somewhere within, I believe it's 30 days, if it's not sooner than that. It might even be 14 days. So you have to find a person to hold on to your license. So I went to Coldwell Banker and they took my license and then they kind of trained me on how to be a realtor.
And hanging your license means just...
Hanging your license means, you're with that company.
Oh, okay.
So you have to join a company.
Yeah.
You can't, unless you have your own company, which I didn't at the time, but you have to join a company. Because that's what I tell, there's a bunch of kids taking the class right now, and I'm like, don't wait, get a hold of me as soon as you pass, because I want to hang your license for you. Otherwise, you're in limbo, and I know if you go 30 days, you have to start the class all over.
Okay.
Like you have to get hired
within
30 days.
But if you start out as a real estate broker, are you then employed or are you on commission basis?
Commission basis.
Okay.
Yes.
And how does it work? How do you?
I will tell you. So I have, as an individual realtor, yes, commission basis. I have a team. So I have three jobs. Mm-hmm. I'm a realtor. I own half of the Armstrong Burns team and we have 15 people on my team. And then I own half of this Remax Rising. So as an individual realtor, I just sell my own stuff, make my own money. As the team leader, I have to teach those 15 people, but really I have 99 people. But the ones on my team, I pay for their leads. I pay all their bills. So okay. If you came in and wanted to work for me, I would say, great, you're going to be on my team. You don't have to pay for anything. I'm going to pay for everything for you, but I'm going to take half of your commission.
Oh, okay.
So if you make $3,000, I get $1,500.
Yeah.
Because my goal is I don't want you on my team forever. I mean, there are people that have been on my team for 20 years. They don't want to get off the team. That's fine. I think they're crazy. They're also a little lazy. But the motivated ones, you only want to be on my team for 6 months. Let me get you started.
Okay.
And it's worth it because if you were paying for all your stuff individually, it would be about the same price. Like we've already figured it out. So let me just pay it for you so you don't have the stress. And then once you get going, I want you to go off on your own. Now, this is where my third job comes in. I really want you to stay at Remax Rising. But if, you know, I just tell them, I always say fly, butterfly, go fly. 99% of them have ended up staying here, and that's great. But there are a couple that, you know, left, and that's because we really didn't want them. Which happens, it's okay. We've gotten rid of really high producers, too,
okay,
like people that make a ton of money. Because they're not always ethical, and I don't want to get sued.
And do you just do Illinois, or do you do...
Illinois, you're only licensed in one state at a time. So my brother's in Arizona. I could get my Arizona license also if I wanted to live there or help him there. And when you do that, you don't have to take the whole course again. You just have to take the state course.
Okay.
So no matter where you are in the United States, when you take your real estate course, you're going to take the real estate course. And the second part of that, whatever state you're in, you have to take the state exam.
Okay.
So now, after 23 years of taking the course, if I want to go to Arizona and work, I just have to take the state exam.
Okay. And how do you get the right to sell certain properties? Are you just between the buyer and seller?
Yes.
Okay.
So, but my contracts say, they have to sign a contract that says that they have exclusive right to me. So I am exclusive to them. I am the realtor. And then how it works is they agree to pay me 6% or Remax Rising 6%. Mm-hmm. And then I pay the other company 3%. So if I sell your house for, $100,000, you're going to owe $6,000 to Remax Rising. Remax Rising turns around and pays half of that to the person that brought your buyer.
Okay.
So, but it all technically goes to the listing agent and then the listing agent's supposed to divvy it up, which the attorneys do it at closing. You don't physically do it.
And how do you evaluate properties if they're good for buyers and sellers?
So you do a market analysis.
Mm-hmm.
So we have what's called MRED, M-R-E-D.
Okay.
It's, what does it stand for? What does it stand for? It's our MLS. It's, Kelly, what's MRED stand for? Jamie, do you know what MRED stands for? Kelly, do you know what MRED stands for?
Midwest
Residential
Master Real Estate Development?
No. Well, it's our MLS. Nobody knows what it's for. We just pay money. It's our board office.
Okay.
So you have to pay dues to them.
Okay.
And then our MLS or MRED is our database of all the houses that are for sale, but not just in Bloomington Normal. Like, we can get all of Chicago. It's really all of the state of Illinois. But there's MRED is competitive with Paragon. Paragon is the other, like, Illinois real estate board.
Mm-hmm.
But we just left Paragon to join MRED. Most people in Illinois are going to MRED. So then once everybody's in MRED, we can get properties anywhere in Illinois.
Okay.
We also have, like, if you tell me I want to move to Hawaii, we also have a software for that where I can look up anything that's in Hawaii.
Okay.
Now, I can't go to Hawaii and help you. I mean, I could, but I don't have a license.
Okay.
But I could get one. Like, if you said I'm going to move there in 6 months, I'm like, oh, I want to help you. Let me just get my license and I'll go with you.
But are you then exclusive to the real estate object, or can other real estate brokers have the same object?
No, it's just exclusive to one realtor.
Okay.
And then, but then you open it up for every realtor to be able to show it. So tell people, if I'm going to list your house, and if I personally sell it, I'm not going to charge you 6% commission. That's not fair. Like, I'm double popping it. So I listed it, I get paid for that, and then if I sell it, I would get paid again. So I usually tell, I have friends and family, like, for instance, like, I would say, there's no way I'm going to charge you the full price. But the problem is, we've got 400 other realtors trying to sell your house. I've got my sign in the yard, but I'm one out of 400. We have 400 realtors.
Okay.
The other 400 people see it on the MLS or the MRED, and they know that house is for sale, and they'll make an appointment to go show it. And we have an automatic showing thing, so you just do it all online. You schedule the appointments and everything, and then they'll click accept it. I usually accept it.
And how do you train people to do good sales pitches for the selling?
Train them.
Yeah.
Okay. We come up with a lot. A lot of it's shadowing, like, they'll come with me.
Okay.
Everybody's shy at first. I mean, I was super shy at first. I'm not shy anymore, but so I usually bring them with me. And then John Armstrong is my business partner. So between him and I, he has trainings at least 3 times a week that they attend. And, like, those are all free just for working here. And we do a lot more than other companies because we're new. We used to work at Coldwell Banker. We were there, I've been 23 years, so I was probably there 18, 17. And we were trying to grow, and most companies don't let you grow.
Mm-hmm.
They want you to always work for them and always give them the money. By the time I left Coldwell Banker after 17 years, I had paid them $3 million. And I was like, I have 3 kids. Like, I want my kids to have that money. So that's why we opened our, it wasn't just the money, we were having arguments, but I kind of like to do things my own way. And there was just stuff going on. So anyway, we just said, we're going to do it on our own, but we were going to do it on our own with only 10 people. But then after now we have 99, like, I did not expect that, but it's great.
Yeah.
I mean, now I'm responsible for all, I call them all my kids. I'm like, if I don't perform, you kids starve.
Do any of them have a salary basis?
No.
None of them. Okay. Mm-hmm. They're all contractors.
Yes.
Okay.
Independent contractors. So nobody gets a W-2. They all get 1099s. So for taxes.
Oh, okay.
So I don't have to pay, except for my 5 girls, they get W-2'd and they're salaried, but they're staff.
Okay.
Anybody that's a realtor is an independent contractor.
And what would you say makes some sellers better than others? Is it training, or is it just...
It's training, but some people just kind of have it. You just have to care about people.
Yeah.
Like, you cannot, I tell people, you cannot be in it for the money. If you're in it only for the money, you will never thrive. You'll get by, but you've got to truly care. Like, you don't, you know, I always meet the family and I see the baby crib and I'm like, I want to get this baby the best house I can get the baby, you know, or whatever. I mean, if I don't particularly love the seller, I mean, you always love something about them or the house, and that's your job, is to get it sold for them.
And so, because you mentioned before that you had to fire some of your top performers as well, how important is finding the right people? Like, because you said ethics as well, how important
so
is
our
that?
Big thing at RE/MAX Rising is culture. Everybody in town talks about our culture.
Okay.
You have to be a team player here, even if you're not on my team.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not on my team, but you're still in my company. and it's all, we all get along so good. And not always, I mean, there's, we've had to get rid of a top producer. We got, he got involved in, after his third lawsuit, I said, we're done. I said, I'm tired of paying furniture. Because we have errors and omissions insurance, and we do provide that for you. So if you mess up, because nobody's perfect, you're going to mess up. I mean, and the seller will tell you something that's not true. I mean, stuff happens. Like, that's, you can't control it. But this was, he just was being an idiot. And after the third time, I'm like, well, you got to go. So he got, and he's still doing great.
And now for anybody that wants to sort of get into the real estate brokerage business, they don't need a college degree necessarily.
Not at all.
Okay, not at all.
And you used to have to be 21. Now you only have to be 18.
18.
That changed 2 years ago.
Okay.
And I was excited because then I wanted Carter to be a realtor.
And how do you get the license? You just go?
You can go online. You can take the class in person. Okay. A lot of people your age all do it online. Okay, I need to be in person. I can't learn online like you guys can.
And then they directly have to go just some company within 30
within 30 days.
30 days.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yeah. And usually by the last part, but right before you take the test, us realtors have gotten involved. Like somebody has said, oh yeah, I'm taking the class now. And there's this guy with me too. We would love to come interview with you. We can get a name from like the MLS board saying, here's who's taking the class right now. Go get them. But then, because half of our job is recruiting. We want to go find the new blood and bring them in. I like the new people. I don't want a veteran agent. I mean, I love them. But you can't train them. They already have they're all set in their way. So we love getting the young people and teaching them how to do it. And I always say, we won't let you fail. Like if you're like, oh my gosh, I haven't sold anything in 30 days. What do I do? I go, here, take this one. Yeah. I'll help you with it. I mean, I've got a list, thankfully, a mile long, but it's 23 years. So I'm going to, if I see that you've been working hard and just not, you don't have any family here, you don't know anybody here, that's hard to get started.
Yeah.
I would make sure you get started.
And how do you find the leads? Are they
open houses? That was the other thing I was going to say. If you do an open house, when you're at the open house, the seller thinks you're there to sell their house. You're never going to sell their house at the open house. I mean, it happens like 2% of the time.
Yeah.
So you're really there to pick up leads.
Okay.
And so somebody comes in, they're like, well, I like it, but it's not perfect. You go, okay, great. There's one down the street. Yeah. I can show you, or, you know, give me your email. I'll send you other ones that are similar. And chances are they're going to circle back to that house after they find out that none of these other houses have it. I mean, that's the thing. If it's somebody that's been looking, you've got realistic people and you've got unrealistic buyers. You know, and that's just kind of how it is with everything. You've got realistic students and unrealistic students. You know, people that don't go to class, they think they're going to survive. It doesn't.
And how many of your clients are recurring business?
That's what I was going to say. So when you care about people, that's where you get the recurring.
Okay.
It's when you don't. So we always say, like, I just can picture, I always say, yeah, he's doing great, but he's never had a repeat client.
Okay.
I don't have to market myself anymore. I'm just really lucky. I've been here my whole life. And like I said, it's been 23 years. I don't place ads for me. I place them for the company.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm like, I don't even want, I'm like, don't look at me. Go look at this kid. He's killing it. I'm like, I've like passed my, like, I just want to give you all my knowledge and teach you how to do it. I still like to make money, don't get me wrong. And I still work, but I just sell houses. I mean, that's just, I do it and I never advertise it.
And let's say somebody is a broker ready. How do you go about starting your own brokerage business from working at a company?
So if I wanted to sell this business to somebody else, or you mean sell it, like let me be your realtor.
Or for example, let's say I'm a real estate broker and I work at your company and then I want to start my own business.
Okay. Yeah. And if you wanted to start your own business, 99% of the time I'd be like, okay, let me help you. Here's what we should do. Now, if you're that guy that was unethical, I might go.
Yeah,
good luck. But I can't stand unethical because it hurts people.
Yeah,
you end up getting hurt. Yeah. I mean, the buyers hurt, the sellers hurt. Somebody got screwed is what happened, and I hate it. And sometimes it's not. Sometimes it just happens. Like the seller wasn't truthful about how much. You know, they'll say, "Oh yeah, I don't owe anything on the house." Well, then you find out there's a $50,000 more. I'm like, okay, but then they're mad at you. I'm like, well, I didn't take a full loan, but you just got to talk them through. Yeah. It's very emotional. And it's the most expensive thing, most expensive asset anybody has. And they're trusting you with the most important sale, the highest amount of sale they'll ever have. So it's kind of a big deal. You're like, I really need to help these people. And when you feel like, oh my gosh, I really need to help these people, you're golden.
It's easy.
It just becomes easy.
Yeah.
And it's not easy. I mean, you get the stress. If you feel like half the time I'm a babysitter, Half the time I'm a psychiatrist. I mean, there's so many things that go into being a realtor, but we're not trained on any of it. It's just being a good person.
Yeah. And now these, because do the people here have a work schedule or they?
They don't. That's the thing. Independent contractors, I'm technically not their boss. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Now, some people do. And that's fine. Well, that's fine. I mean, my veteran agents are, well, they don't need us for anything. I mean, yeah. They'll ask us, hey, I want to run this by you. Great. But they know what they're doing. My newbies, you're an independent contractor. You can do whatever you want, but usually you don't. Usually yeah. you just show up. I mean, you're not going to get paid if you don't work. Like mm-hmm. that's just the bottom line, and yeah. most people know that. I mean, that's how okay. it is in sales anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
And my brother was a realtor. My dad was. Everybody was a realtor. My brother sold a house. His first house within 2 days of being a realtor. Worst thing that could have happened to him because he thought it was so easy. He yeah. thought I don't have to, and he never sold another house because in his brain he was like, "Well, I don't do anything," and he didn't for that one sale. I call those your freebies. Mm-hmm. Like you're going to work really hard on these sales, but while you're working hard, these ones are just going to add up, and all yeah. of a sudden you're like, "Oh my God, I sold 6 houses. I don't even know how because you were working so hard on these three, but these other three just kind of fell into place."
And how many of the people is this a full-time job for them?
It doesn't have to be.
Okay.
So the place we used to work, you did have to do it full time.
Okay.
I see teachers that are the best realtors. Teachers are so organized. I want you to go teach. And then over the summer, come be a realtor.
Yeah.
I mean, you're already organized. And the one teacher that was both for 20 years, she sold to all her students. Like they would all come back and buy houses when they became adults.
That's cool.
It was, who am I trying to, is it Sandy? She was so sweet. And I can't even remember where
At
she was.
At our school?
It wasn't. I think okay. she was. I think she was Unit 5. But she, for years, all her students came back and bought houses, and their yeah. parents bought houses. But she was a cool teacher. Mm-hmm. I mean, they all loved her. You know, you can't yeah. be. I mean, you got to be realistic with your kids. But
yeah.
you know, it's just if you're cool.
yeah.
I mean, I do. I'll tell the parents if they've got babies. I'm like, here, let me unlock the house for you. I mean, granted, I've met them, so I know that they can mm-hmm. go in. You shouldn't let them in by themselves, but I'm like, I'll sit in the car with the kids while they're in the car seats. You go in. Like after we've looked at a few houses, it's no fun getting the kids out every single time. Or I'll take the kids to the backyard and let the parents go look at the house. I mean, they're making a big decision. Like they don't need to be distracted.
Yeah.
So then when COVID came, the worst part about house sales during COVID, and we got super busy, but you'd only have 15 minutes to look at a house. You had to make that decision in 15 minutes. You can't do that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just too hard. So I felt so sorry for people. And so my numbers were down because I was not going to pressure a single person.
Yeah.
But then it got to the point where these people were getting frustrated. And I'd say, listen, if you want this house, this is how you have to play it. You have to go in. I sold RJ that has Rivian. Have you heard of Rivian?
Yeah.
Okay, so I sold him a house. It was Mother's Day. I was mad because he wanted me to go show him a house. I didn't know who this person was. I was like, I'm not going on Mother's Day. So my yeah. husband Googles him and goes, oh, you're going. So he wasn't
does
even
he
here.
Does he just own the store here? Or?
He owns the store here and the one that's going in Atlanta.
Okay.
But he bought it sight unseen. So oh. we videotaped.
Oh.
And his friend was with him. He spent $500,000 on a house sight unseen. Then when he got here, he bought it. He already owned it. Didn't like it. So sold it and bought another one, you know, but he can do that.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, if you're stuck with that, like I couldn't just sell it and go buy another one.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, I mean, it just depends on your clientele, but 9 times out of 10, like it's a huge decision.
But how is it different? Like, do you don't pressure people to go into the sales?
I don't, I'm low pressure.
But some others.
Some
are.
Others are
yeah.
way, and,
yeah.
and the way they're approached, the way they do it makes sense.
Okay.
But I've like been in a room where mm-hmm. I know this person didn't like the house, just their body language.
Okay.
And I have this realtor over here going, yeah, but it's got this and it checks
okay.
it off your list.
Yeah,
and I'm like, shut up.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is not, you know,
yeah, yeah.
I mean, and I don't say it like that. I mean, when I've been there, I've been like, okay, I just kind of grab his hand and go, okay,
yeah.
you know what? Let's go look at a couple others. And then kind of show them,
mm-hmm.
don't push so hard. This isn't like, you're just good. I always bring it back to like buying a wedding dress. Like you're gonna try on 10 dresses before you find the one you want.
Yeah.
And the one you want could be the first one you tried on, but you don't know unless you try on the other 9.
Yeah.
Or I always say it's like shopping for a husband. Like you gotta date a few before you You know, I'm
yeah.
like you gotta check out the houses before
yeah,
you
yeah.
decide this is you commit.
So it's more important to be able to read the people rather than
that it's just
yeah.
a and it's not like that's something you can't train.
Yeah.
You just kind of know it. And most people do. I mean, most people are nice. Like, there's not all of them are jerks.
Yeah,
and the ones that are jerks kind of figure out, they either get their own niche of jerky buyers and sellers. I mean, there's people that are jerks that I don't. For instance, one of my past clients is working with another one of my realtors right now. And she's crazy. Like, she's so happy. She's sued all these people throughout the community. And I just found out that she's working with one of my realtors. And I'm like, oh no, I've got to tell my realtor. She sued her last realtor, so you need to get this form signed before you go any farther. And I mean, she's just kind of on her realtor radar.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the public's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, it just depends. But I am like, I always say, you get no pressure from me. And people are like, I'm sorry to waste your time. I'm like, we are never wasting time. It's totally fine. But you're going to feel like you're wasting your time as a realtor because you're going to show 10 houses and nothing.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, it just happens.
Yeah.
It's never a waste of time because it will pan out. Mm-hmm. And I've had at open houses, I did them every weekend for 5 years. I don't really do them anymore. But I would get people that would call me years later and say, I met you at an open house like 5 years ago at this address. Do you remember? I'm like, sure. I don't remember. But they remember.
Yeah.
So when you're doing an open house, that's really a great way to get leads because people are interviewing you and you don't know it. So you've got 3 minutes to be like, you know, you don't want to follow them. But you don't want to give them all the space. You know, you just kind of figure it out.
Yeah.
And it's going to click with some people and some people it's not.
And when one starts out in the brokerage business, is it always cold or do you use your own network to sell the
properties? Both.
Okay.
So I would say to you, give me the list of all your, I started before there was social media. All you'd have to do is get on your social media and see all your friends and say, hey, I'm a realtor now. If you know anybody buying or selling, let me know.
Yeah.
When I started, we'd have to, I'd print off a letter and I'd always write something at the bottom and I sent out like 500 letters with stamps. What a concept. But now it's easier for you kids because you can just get on all your social media.
Okay.
But then I'll say, like, I start when I'm bored, I'll go in my contact list on my phone and I'll start with the A's. And I'm like, okay, I haven't talked to that person in so long. I haven't talked, and you know, I'll do all the A's in one day.
Mm-hmm.
The next day, I'll do B's. It's just my system of making sure I've talked to people that I haven't talked to in a long time. And, it's weird. If you're not out there, it's out of sight, out of mind. Like, you know, and wearing swag, we give all our realtors swag all the time.
Yeah.
In fact, you're leaving with a t-shirt. I was like,
that's
I don't
good.
Know how big you are. I needed to see it. Like, extra large or small. But like you wear this, I tell them, just put on your shirt and go to the grocery store.
Yeah.
Someone's going to stop and ask you a question.
Yeah.
The other thing is your elevator speech. I always say, you've got 30 seconds. Everybody's going to say, how's the real estate market? You've got 30 seconds to respond. Like, what are you going to say?
Mm-hmm.
I just always say, oh my gosh, it's so crazy out there. I'm like, things are up, things are down. The interest rates are killing us. But, you know, and it's always got to have something positive in it.
Yeah.
Because you don't want them to be fine, I'll call you next year. Which, great if they call you next year, but, you know.
But if you find a contact in your phone that you haven't, for example, contacted yet about it, do you call them or do you write them?
I'll call them or I'll text. I'm really a texter.
Okay.
I'll just say, hey, my beautiful friend. And it's legit. Like I realized, oh my God, I haven't talked to this girl in 2 years. How did that happen? I really loved her. And so I'll just be like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I haven't talked to you in forever. Did you ever put those floors in? Did you paint that room?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, or stuff like that. There was a long time before my husband died where I would like go to lunch or go to play. I don't do that anymore. But I will do, I do a lot of lottery tickets. Like $1. So I'll put it in the mail with a card. Love you, thinking of you.
On
their birthdays anyway.
Okay.
I'll say, if you win, let's go shopping for a house, you know, or something.
Yeah.
Like just a scratch off.
Okay. Yeah.
That was easy. And then we'd always have to come up with these gimmick things. Like at open houses, I'd say, thanks for taking the extra time to view this home. And I'd have packs of extra gum. But again, that was like when I was younger. I'm 50 now.
Yeah.
But I would tell you, like,
as
somebody starting out, that's what I would do.
And how do you then keep in contact with them? Let's say they write back, casual conversation, and you just...
I'm constantly on my phone.
Okay.
There are systems. There are software, and there are systems for you to use that we provide that are very good. I'm just old school.
So they're just CRM systems?
They're kind of like that.
Okay.
Yeah. They're just... we have a software called BrokerMint.
Mm-hmm.
So if we subscribe to BrokerMint, it will like store your contacts for you, and it will organize them and say, this is the last time I talked to you. Like, it's a whole, you know, you can always get those things. Okay. I just it's all right here. Which isn't good. Someone asked me one time, what's your business plan? I'm like, I don't know, give me a minute. And sometimes, like, I don't have a business plan. It's all fly by the seat of my pants. Yeah. But then John, my business partner, will remind me, no, you do this. I'm like, oh, yeah. That's just natural. I didn't think of it as a business plan. But after 23 years, things just come natural.
Yeah. And how many objects do you then have in your listing at one time?
How many listings do I have? Like, I have zero right now because I just sold all six of them.
Okay.
But, and I had a subdivision with all the lots, so I had 75 lots. Mm-hmm. We sold all of them but five. You know, it just depends. But normally, starting out, you're only going to have like one or two listings. But you're just going to work really hard on those one or two listings. And then the neighbor's going to be like, oh my God, that kid worked really hard. I want him to list our house. Okay. Like, that's just how it happens. Sign calls. People see you don't know they're watching you. I mean, that's
sign calls or what?
People will drive by and see your sign and say,
oh, okay, and we'll just call
you. Yeah,
okay.
Hey, how much is this house? And then now you've got them in your phone. Yeah. You know, you're just like, oh, well, what are you looking for? You just kind of start the conversation.
Yeah.
And I don't do it perfect. I mean, you just kind of do it. It'll either work or it won't.
Yeah.
And I used to stress when it didn't work. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, I don't like to lose.
Yeah.
But then eventually you just kind of got to like balance your worlds, because it's really easy to get obsessed with real estate. You make a ton of money if you try, and I mean I've got 21 year olds making $100,000, and I'm like, you're not ready for this kind of money. You know, so then I always talk to them about, what are you doing with their, so they all call me mom, or I mean, it's mom and dad. In fact, I told the girls they could buy a TV because John was out of town. And so they said, mom said yes, and dad said no. I go, that's really all how it goes. So John sometimes will train them more aggressively. I just kind of go, you know what? I'm a mom, and I wouldn't want someone to do that to my kids. I wouldn't want, anytime I have a single girl, I say, we need a garage that is attached so you can just close the door. When you're in your car, you just close it, and then you get out and you walk around. Like, I never want my females to have to be exposed. It's so silly to even say that, but I'm just like, I wouldn't let my sister live here. I don't know that this is the perfect spot for you. Or I'll say, why don't you call the police and do a crime report? You know, that's always my hint that this isn't good. I'm a freak. I'm so protective about single women.
Okay.
And I don't know why. Yeah. I don't know. But like, that is something my business partner as a man never would pay attention to. He'd be like, well, it just isn't in his wheelhouse. So him and I are yin and yang all the time, which is why we've been so lucky. But you just figure it out.
Yeah, yeah.
Where have you worked?
I graduated last year, and then just high school in Germany, and then I did insurance.
Okay, insurance is a lot like real estate.
Yeah, contracting for a bit. Yeah. I'm still part of the company basically. I don't know. Is it that you just get do you just get a contract and then you basically can sell whenever you want to?
I would hire you if you, even though you still had your insurance job.
Yeah.
There's people that work at State Farm. One of my girls, she just got divorced, so she no longer has health insurance. So you don't get health insurance as a realtor, and you don't get 401k.
Oh, nothing. Okay.
So that's why I tell these people, like these 21-year-olds that have $100,000, I'm like, hold on. You need to save for insurance. You need to save, you know, for a rainy day. I'm like, they don't always listen, but they don't have to. One of my girls that just started at Rivian, I'm like, no, I want you at Rivian. You're gonna get friendly with these people, and they're gonna buy houses from you.
Yeah.
I'm like, it just, you know, I don't want you locked in a cubicle all day where you're not talking to anybody. That's just not good for your real estate.
Yeah.
It may be a great job, but like, it's okay, in my opinion. Not everybody will agree. To have two jobs as a realtor.
Yeah.
Some people that are full-time real estate will not, they'll call, like, we call them bottom feeders, and they just take a little bit away from everybody else. But it just is what it is. I mean, it's just the way it is. But with any business, 20% of the people do 80% of the business.
Of course.
Like, you can struggle in real estate. If you are able to concentrate on it, you can only succeed.
Okay.
If you're not really into it, you won't.
And how long would you say the people in your team take usually? Okay, maybe they have a hit start and then a lull or something, but how long would it take them to be really successful usually?
A year.
Okay.
A year.
Yeah.
We had a contest, there were, like, we had Rookie of the Year, And so there were three people in line for it. And they were so trying, so hard. It was all their friends. So I ended up giving it to all three because they were just all trying. One was ahead of the other. And I never want to discourage because it was a huge deal that all three of these people sold 20 houses their first year. I'm like, okay, he sold 21, he sold 22. But I'm like, the person sold 20, he still did really good.
Yeah,
you know, so it's just, it just depends how hard. They were all motivated by the contest. And
so
we'll do like stuff like that when it's slow. I'm like, okay, the next person that gets six leads gets the Starbucks, or, you know, I think one year we took somebody to Vegas because we have a conference in Vegas. So we paid for them to go or whatever.
Do you have a conference just for your company? Or
it's for Remax, all of Remax. Because so we're part of the Remax corporate. And part of what you pay as a realtor, you pay into the dues for the Remax in the Sky, I call it, the corporate. Now, in our case, corporate is really good. Like, the Coldwell's corporate is not good. Berkshire's is okay. Like, Remax is a lot of fun. It's the same guy that started it still runs it. So it's more of a family thing. It doesn't matter. If you're just going to be a realtor, like, you just want to go where you're going to make money. It doesn't matter. I just know that John and it's because we've been a realtor for so long in this town, we know what they lacked at the other companies, so we just made sure we were really good at those things. And the things that they lacked were things that bothered us, too, as realtors, so we were like, this is stupid. Let's just do it our own. I literally said, I think the last year I was at Coldwell, I paid them $187,000, and I said, I think I could run my own company for $187,000. Like, literally, that's how it started. And then John was like, you know, I think we could. And that's just kind of how it started. We just got really lucky in the case. We were just very lucky. But we were both here and we knew everybody. We're just really lucky.
Well, that's good.
That's it?
I have a question. Is it okay if I ask a question? What's the difference between, like, being a realtor? Like, I come in and I'm going to be a realtor. And you're a broker.
Okay, there isn't anymore.
Oh,
there used to be.
Yeah,
it used to be one or the other.
Right.
Then they merged them. But now we have a managing broker. So now as a real estate agent, we're all brokers.
Oh, okay.
That got changed.
I didn't know that.
It was
okay.
So now the next step up is managing broker. And John, my business partner, has his managing broker's license. I don't. My husband had it. My husband was good at school. I said, go get your managing broker's license so I don't have to. And if something happens to John, we're good. So I still don't have it. I should probably get it in case something happens to John. I just, you know, we lived in a world where nothing happened to anybody. But no, you can get your managing broker and it's another like 15 hours. And then you take, so then every 2 years you have to take CE credits. So like you have to go back to school and take 12 hours. It's dumb. As a managing broker, every 4 years you do it, and it's a bigger deal. Like, you've got to go someplace and do it.
Okay.
Like, they'll hold a thing. It, honest to God, it's a way for the state to make money, because you don't really learn anything. It's like teaching. Sometimes I say, just let me, I'll give you the $100, just mark it down. You know, and I just realized 2024, I have to do my CE, so I'm going to start it. Because now, like, October, November, December, you're kind of slow.
Okay. I was going to ask that. Are there certain seasons for the
business? You love, like I said, I could leave as long as I'm in town February, March, April, May, June. I could make all my money in those 5 months and not work the rest of the year. In fact, this year, and I don't mind telling people about the money because obviously if you want to be a realtor, you want the money. I'm still shocked at how a 50-year-old with no college degree. So my goal this summer was to make enough money to pay for Walker's College. In those 5 months, I put $100,000 in an account marked Walker's College. And then I still have, so as a realtor, I wanted one closing a month as when I started. So that would be 12 a year. And then as I got going, I wanted four a month because I wanted a paycheck every week. Because you don't get paid until the house closes. So that's what I tell people. If you want to be a realtor, you've got to be able to go 3 to 6 months with no income. Do you have enough saved? Does your spouse have enough saved? Because if you sell a house your first day, it's still not going to close for 60 days. So that's 2 months. But in those 60 days, you may have sold a couple others. So now all of a sudden, I mean, there's 1 month, you guys, it's embarrassing. 1 month I made $40,000. I'm like, this is what people make as a salary. Like, and then I think these teachers that, I mean, Walker, because I'm very open with my kids about money now, because if something happens to me, they need to know where it is.
Yeah,
it's not normal. But Walker's like, my God, Ma. I mean, sometimes it's embarrassing. I'm like, I did not work this hard. There are days where I'm like, oh, I should get double. but it's just, it's crazy. I mean, I was lucky. My husband got to be a stay-at-home dad. I mean, we just got very, very lucky for somebody with no college degree.
And when, let's say a buyer doesn't pay the right sum or something, do you have your own lawyers or do you have
to? Yes, the buyer will pay the right sum because we have a contract, so they won't get sued. But we pay for your lawyers to do that.
Okay.
It's all a part of your errors and omissions insurance.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, and like I said, we pay that for you, and you get, so then you get access to all these lawyers, like to help you with your, because ultimately I've never been sued. I don't want to be sued, but it you could be completely right, and a homeowner wants to sue you, they can.
Okay.
And then you have to go prove that you were right. They don't, a lot of times the sellers, the public, they don't win because they don't know what we do as realtors. Mm-hmm. I'm like, no, I have a text message that says that's what you wanted. Well, text messages and emails are now legal documents. So I have certain people that everything has to be in writing. Like, there's certain people I don't like to talk to on the phone. I want them to text me because then I have a record.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just, you just kind of get the gut of, I think this person will turn.
But does it make a difference to you as a broker at what rate they finance and that kind of stuff, or just a total sale?
Total sale. Okay. Yeah. It's all based off the total sale.
Mm-hmm.
And really, and then you have to explain to people because it's, you know, you say it's 6% commission. It's really not 6%. It's really 10%. Because there's revenue stamps through the state of Illinois, there's title insurance, we're an attorney area, county. So we, in McLean County, you sell a house, you have to have an attorney. That is not how Peoria does it. Mm-hmm. But every county does it different. In McLean County, we pay taxes in arrears. So when you sell your house, you have to give a tax credit for last year and for the portion you lived in it this year. So sometimes, if you close in March, you're giving like 16 months of property taxes. Peoria doesn't do it like that either. It's just math.
Okay.
But it changes your bottom line. Yeah. But every county is different. Mm-hmm. But that's, you just learn where you live, how it works.
Okay, yeah.
Like, what I do here is totally different than Chicago.
Okay.
They do it all different. They're ruthless in Chicago. They backstab, they're mean. I don't even want to go to Chicago. I'm like, they're mean. Because they come down here and sell houses and they start... Well, I'm like, we're nice to people here. This isn't how we do it. I'm like, calm down.
but you don't rent any properties?
I personally have rentals.
Okay.
When 10 years ago, when the interest rates were really good, you only had to have 10% down. Now you have to have 20%. Mm-hmm. But if I wanted to buy a rental, so I would buy ones that I was going to list. So they're going to pay me. So it's for easy math. I bought a $100,000 property. 10% is 10,000. Well, they're giving me 6% as commission, so all I had to do was come up with 4% of my own money. So I bought a bunch of rentals. Now, some of them are slumlords, like they're nasty. I won't go there. But my point was, I bought enough and we sold some, but I still have 3 properties that I've kept, one for each kid.
Mm-hmm.
They're paid off. So like I can either sell it and pay for their college, but like I bought them all 10 years ago when the kids were younger. And the tenants have paid it off. So now like Carter has the one on Vale Street, Walker has the one on Orleans, and Lily has something else. I mean, they're still in my name, but like I just knew these were for the kids. So when they graduate, I'll just be like, here, do you want to keep it? Do you want to keep the monthly rent? Or do you want to sell it and have a down payment for your own?
Okay.
It was just the way to do it. And when you're a realtor, you have to come up with a lot of tax write-offs.
Yeah.
Because they will charge, I mean, that $100,000 could easily, they take 50 of it. Well, I wore and tear on my car, my gas, my owning rental properties is a huge way for realtors to have a tax break.
Okay.
Because you can write off so much of the house.
That's what I was going to ask. So if you get your check, you just put it into real estate again? Or
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
Sometimes, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now it all goes to college. Yeah. But and then but mostly for the tax write-offs, because that's what you have to find. It's, you got to make a lot of money and you got to figure out ways to keep it, and we have good accountants my business partner's brother is an accountant and a lawyer. I always say I got the dumb part of it. I'm like, your brother's an accountant and a lawyer? I'm like, why am I arguing with him? But he's a great guy, and he understands real estate, and he he makes sure we're all on track.
Yeah.
And it used to be where if you buy a car that was like 60 tons, you got like $20,000 write off. So every realtor was driving like Lincoln Navigators and Tahoe.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like, what? It was like getting a free car, really, by the time it was all said and done.
Yeah.
I mean, it just made sense.
Okay.
So there's lots of different loopholes. I always say I'm the loophole queen. I try to find them as much as I can.
Yeah, but that would be incentive.
I think I'm a lawyer when I'm not. I have all the lawyers. I'm like, I saw it on TV.
It must be right.
It has to be.
Don't they look exactly alike? You see it?
Not really.
You don't see it? No, I totally see it. I love it.
But now, does it seem a lot different in what you know of in Germany from here?
Well,
I mean, I know you haven't done a lot.
Yeah, I don't know too much about the business, but the broker I know, he has his own firm as well. But I don't know if he has contractors in his name or something. I just knew as a company at one point that like 40-ish listings, I think, on their...
Oh, the company itself?
Well,
we have like 600.
Okay, and your team?
My team, but see, there's 15 people on my team.
Okay.
So, you know, we have like, I mean, our team is like the biggest nationally. We win all the, we're in the wrong office.
Yes.
We've got awards up. So my team probably has 50 or 60.
Okay.
I don't think I should, but I don't.
Do you get a part of their commission as a team leader?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's where I pay all your expenses, but you're going to give me half your commission.
Mm-hmm.
And then as a broker owning the company, if you're not on my team and you're on your own, which most people are, they still have to pay the company.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has, we call it a cap. So like, I think it's $18,000 a year is what it costs you to pay your due. Like it's like, it's like $1,000 something a month. Plus you've got to pay $150 to be able to use the lock boxes. And that's there's just dues.
Yeah, yeah.
So I get the cap money, but mostly I end up giving it to Remax in the Sky too.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a franchise fee. So every time you sell a house, you have to pay 5% of it goes to Remax in the Sky.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then Remax in the Sky reimburses us of it.
That's the same, our insurance page, that was the case. Well, let's say we sold retirement insurance or life insurance or something, then it would first go to the big insurance company, and they would then pay
first
the top people in the company, and then sort of the brokers.
So then when I opened, I had the people that were already on my team, I offered them, you know, I'm like, if you want to give me $2,000 to invest, like, we'll pay you dividends. So, because you needed so much money to start up, and plus we wanted to take care of our people, which they're all still here. So every year, at the end of the year, I pay them out money. Like, I think their investment was initially $2,000. Last year, they got a $10,000 return. The year before that was like $8,000. Like, it's more than paid them. And that I wanted to do that more as like, thank you for being so loyal. So there's just 10 people that we do it for.
Mm-hmm.
Not all, and I have realtors that sell way more money that probably deserve a better bonus than the first people, but they were so loyal. I just love them. And they help, like they hang my TVs. They, you know, they just help.
Yeah.
They're just all, like that's who I have over for Christmas.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
They're just all my loves.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I tell him, one of the guys is single and he's so sweet. He's like my little brother. I'm like, can I just live with you? But he lives next door to my mom and dad. I'm like, I can't live with you until you move.
Yeah. Wouldn't work.
Yeah. Because I always say, it's Tommy Peterson. I'm always like, why do you live next door to my parents?
Yes.
But he's like closer to my kids. I mean, he's just... He's gonna be single for the rest of his life, and he's just like the sweetest guy in the world. I just love him.
Yeah.
But he started with us originally, and
he's
just a good guy. We've got a few people like that.
Yeah. Do you have any questions?
I don't think so. I don't get it though. The one thing you said was about you have the listing, but other people can show it, right?
Yes, so when you list your house, like if I was gonna put your sister's house on the market.
Yeah.
Which you might someday.
Yeah, well, someday. I might buy it because she lives right next door to my sister, or two doors down from my assistant.
Oh.
Because I said, Kelly, your neighbor's coming in today. She's like, what? Yes, so I've got it listed. So then I put it out in the multiple listing service for all the realtors to
see. Is that
see.
With every single listing every single you listing. Said?
And that's what you want as a seller. You want as much exposure as you can get. Now, during COVID, some people didn't. Mm-hmm. So we did a pocket listing.
Yeah, okay.
I've done that 3 times since COVID where I've not put a sign in the yard. I've literally just told people, we have a company email, a Facebook page, we just post on it.
Yeah.
So I'll say, like today they said the kitchen's being used because somebody's here. But I'll say, okay guys, between 11 and 3 today, whoever has a buyer for this house, go look at it. I'm not putting it online. Nobody knows it exists. Mm-hmm. It's in-house sale. And we always sell them because everybody here has somebody that wants it.
Yeah.
But that's because they found a house they liked. They didn't want to get theirs like super ready in case this one sold. Uh-huh. So I was like, you know what? Just give me 24 hours. Let me see if I can work it out.
Okay.
We did. Mm-hmm. It doesn't always work that way. We just got one.
So you're not required to put it on that multiple listing?
You
or that?
For the contract, yes. But we have an addendum where we're like, okay, you can really do these 10 options. What do you want? And most of them choose full blown, put it on the market. Mm-hmm. Not everybody does. I mean, if they're elderly or if they can't leave. Because that's the thing, when someone comes to look at your house, you need to be gone. Mm-hmm. People are weirded out by that. I don't blame them. So I'll even say in there, seller will be home to answer any questions. Or you're being recorded, don't open the door. don't look at the underwear.
You have to be careful when you go through, because there are cameras.
I tell everybody now,
don't say anything.
Assume is that you true? Are being recorded.
Yes.
Where?
By the realtor or by the homeowner?
No, by the seller.
And it's not legal. It's illegal to do without the people's permission.
Oh my gosh.
But if I put in
I would never have thought that when I'm touring a house.
I tell the seller, are you going to take the cameras down? No. I'm like, okay, then I have to disclose that you are recording. Otherwise, it's illegal.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you have to be really careful what you say.
But all the rings, like people, and that's my other thing too. I tell people the first thing I do is, it's going to take me 15 seconds to open this lockbox, which means we've got 15 seconds standing on this porch with mom chirping, dad chirping.
Ah,
I said, so get the porch beautiful so you get no complaints on your Ring camera.
Yeah.
I said, otherwise you're going to hear it all.
That is true.
I'm like, get rid of the spiders. I mean, it's just dumb, but like for 15, it kind of gets awkward after a minute. You're just like, okay, you're going to open it? Then you're like, oh, there's a huge bird's nest. Or, you know, I'm like, just get it all cleaned up.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. And a lot of it, people will call me and say, I want to put my house in the market in 6 months. What do I need to do?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, don't do anything until I come over, because I'm going to tell you half of the things you plan to do, don't do.
Uh-huh.
Like things, kitchen and bathrooms is where you make all your money.
Mm-hmm.
Like nobody wants to spend $10,000 on a roof. So I always say, no, wait for a hailstorm, put that money in your kitchen flooring. You know, it doesn't matter if you live there, the next person lives there, as long as it's not leaking. But like if the roof has got like 7 or 8 years, I'm like, just wait for a hailstorm. I'm like, insurance will pay for it. And you can always get a home warranty on your house that will take care of everything except the roof. There's always things you can do. Like, because some of these first-time home buyers, they just simply don't have money to fix things. So I say, okay, you've spent your 3% on your down payment. I get it. Let's get a home warranty. It costs $500 a year. If anything goes wrong, you call this company, they fix it. I mean, there's things, because it's not fair for everybody.
Yeah. Our daughter did that.
I mean, it's just like, you want them to get started and established, but you can't. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're not the same as a 50-year-old person
that
has a 401k.
It costs enough as it is to buy a house.
And I think that's the thing. I've gotten so sympathetic to these kids, because I'm like, it's just not fair. The rents are outside. One person paying me $3,000 a month. I'm like, I don't even want it. I'm like, I'm gonna have to pay taxes on this. I'm just like, when did this go crazy?
Now theirs is a lot more.
Yeah,
than
I can't imagine. And I mean, Chicago's. We're just McLean County's lucky. I'm just like, living in a bubble. So we're always a little lucky. We're luckier around here than most. Like I said, I would not sell real estate in Chicago. I would just.
It's just.
I do in Florida.
In Florida.
In Florida, just because. I don't think there's all that pressure. Like half of the realtors go to the beach, half of it's just laid back. In Chicago, man, it is feast or famine.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they're ruthless. Like they just don't care. And that I don't like.
Yeah.
But that's just me. Mm-hmm. I'd probably make a ton more money in Chicago. It's just not worth it.
You'd almost spend more money.
And it's not worth it.
Yeah.
I just couldn't. Yeah. I'm a freak about like honesty and which most people are. Like it's nothing special. But then you find the person that you're like, oh, really? They thought that was okay? And
well, you still have to be aware of it.
And sometimes it was okay. I just would never have done it. But it was totally fine and within the realm of being legal.
Yeah, yeah,
but I just, there's just, But I'm just different. I'm so lucky.
Yeah.
I mean, except that my husband died. But other than that, I am the luckiest person in the world. I really am.
But it's hard work, too. Yeah, it can't. It I mean, is. You're being no, very I mean, nice, but I'm imagining it's hours and hours of work.
I came home one day and I sat down. I go, I have been nice to people all day. Nobody talked to me. And Greg goes, what's he always say? Italian mom. And they scatter like cockroaches. The kids are like, don't talk to mom. I mean, yeah, I come home and I'm like, you are not going to believe what this guy thinks is normal. And I'm just so used to it. Yeah. And now when my realtors come to me with complaints and they're just like, you know, venting, I'm like, what if he wasn't your client? What if you weren't going to get paid? And they're like, oh, he's not so bad. I'm like, he's not so bad.
Yeah.
You have to work for this money. It doesn't just get given to you. Yeah. You're going to earn it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you don't earn it. Sometimes you're just like, whoa, that was a gift. And then sometimes you've earned it, but, you know, it expired after like 90 days. It went to another realtor. They dropped the price $5,000 and then it sells. And you're just like, after all that work, I asked you, you know, but it just, it's going to happen to you someday.
Yeah.
Whereas another realtor's going to lose it. You're going to get it and it'll sell. And I tell people, sometimes it just takes a different sign in the yard for people to do a double take. And then it's done. Mm. You can work as hard as you can and it won't pay off. Sometimes you're like, I didn't do anything and that was too easy.
Yeah.
It just depends.
But now, and it's not, is it 90 days?
It's whatever you agree to.
Oh, okay.
Like I usually put, if any more, it doesn't matter because everything's going to sell.
Yeah.
But before, when things didn't sell, I think the most I ever did was 120 days, which was 4 months. But that's when you used to have to spend a ton of money on the marketing too. We just, it's not like that anymore. Mm-hmm. And we do, we get leads for my team. Like I pay Zillow $1,000 a month.
Okay, yeah.
So we do the lead generation. We have, our website drives people. We boost the Facebook. I mean, there's plenty of marketing that we do. I just, personally, I don't pay, they just do it.
Okay, yeah.
But like, if you wanted to, we call it a farming, where you have a subdivision and you send letters and postcards to that subdivision. Hey, your neighbor's house just sold. Call me. I'll tell you how much yours is worth. I'll pay for half of that. You pay for the other half on my team.
Okay.
We try to make it for people on my team to make it easy to get started.
Yeah.
And then once you get started, boom, you're done. It'll take off.
Yeah.
It just does. Unless you suck. And if you suck, then we work on it. Yeah. Or some people just don't have it. They're just like, I don't care. I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
Like my brother, he's a great guy, but he was like, I am tired of driving people around and wasting my time. And that's, you know, he didn't have, I had a great spouse. His spouse wasn't as great. She was working too. I mean, it's got to work for your family too in order for it to work.
So you have mostly young people or a lot of young people?
So Coldwell Bankers, average age is 65. My average age is 30.
Oh, okay. Wow.
So we talk about longevity. Like right now, we have the youngest people. So like we will have the best longevity. Like Coldwell Banker, I don't know what they're going to do. In like 5 years, they're going to be half the company because everybody will have retired. All their top producers are 60 and older.
Oh.
And here, besides John and I, I think John's 57. He might be one of the oldest people at this company.
Okay.
We just have, and Keller Williams is the other one. They have a lot of young people too.
And how do you find young people for the company? Just
usually the classes. They're going to go through classes where people, like, I'll be showing a family and the kid will be like, I want to be a realtor.
Oh, okay.
And then, but they're in high school. So then eventually, and that's the thing. I mean, I tell people all the time, I'll hire you in a second. And it's mostly people we know. I mean, John and I have just both lived here and it's just people will reach out or the parents will reach out and say, my kid wants to be a realtor.
Would you hire me?
In a heartbeat.
Okay.
In a heartbeat. You can have a conversation. You can look me in the eye. You are hired in a heartbeat.
Okay, that's good.
Well, that's good. I mean, honestly, like, it's like, some of these kids sit here and they're just like, well, I don't know. I'm like, okay, you have to be able to talk to people. Like, you can't. I'm like, lift up your eye. You know, my kids, you know, and that's why I always tell my kids, I'm like, you're not getting anything you want until you look me in the eye.
Yeah.
And I used to tell my kids, don't negotiate with the negotiator. You're not going to win. I'm like, I will always win.
Yeah.
I mean, but
yeah.
And that's the thing.
Okay. Yeah.
Is that good?
That's cool. Yeah, it's very good. Thank you.
All right, come here. Let's pick out your